Lake Effect continues on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Wisconsin is well known around the world for its cheesemaking culture. We're often associated with cheddar, but as you probably know already, the cheese varieties that come out of the dairy state run the gamut, from smelly cheese like Limburger to goat and sheep smoked cheeses.
But increasingly, Wisconsin dairies and cheese factories are making cheeses that until now have mainly been associated with Europe. Food writer Jeanette Hurt joins us every so often to talk about cheese, and she's with us now to talk about her recent expedition. Hi, Jeanette. Welcome back to the show. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Mitch.
And you are back in town after a recent trip up north. And I want to ask you first, where did you go and why did you go there?
Well, I went all the way up north, way up there to Turtle Lake, and I went to visit Schumann Cheese's creamery operation, and I also visited the dairy side as well. We went to the farm, Norswiss Farms, and it was a really interesting experience. I've been to dozens upon dozens upon dozens of creameries here in Wisconsin, but I've never gone quite that far north and west, I would say. It's way
it's
up
kind of
there.
Above the dairy belt, really.
It is, but like many places in Wisconsin, there are still lots of cows.
Well, and so why is the Schumann Cheese Company's plant there such a big deal?
What is interesting is their partnership. Schumann Cheese is actually started out as an Italian cheese importing company in New Jersey. It's now fourth generation, and they are the largest importer of hard Italian cheeses. Some years ago, about 10 years ago, they purchased the plant in Turtle Lake. This is a plant that was making Italian-style cheeses. Again, very nice fit. They mostly make aged cheeses like Parmesan, like Asiago, Romano. They also, because when you're making things like Parmesan, you can use the whey to make other things that, like lighter cheeses. They make mascarpone and they make some other products. What is interesting is their head cheesemaker is a French man, and he travels around to their other cheese plants. His name is Christophe Megavon.
And apparently there's no problem with a French cheesemaker being in charge of making Italian-style cheeses.
Nope. They all love cheese. They figure the passion is there whether you're in Italy, France, or Wisconsin. And Christophe was visiting this plant over time, and they wanted to expand their operations to include some other cheeses. And one of the things they decided that would be natural, they make hard Italian cheeses, so some hard French Alpine-style cheeses. So instead of just Christophe teaching the cheesemakers, and he has a special – he started his career actually in the French Alps, so he has a strong background there. But he went back for some education in France, and he met this instructor, Julien Rouillade. He's taught for the last 20 years at the French Ministry of Agriculture's École Nationale d'Industrie Laitière. So he's a French cheesemaker instructor, and he, again, specializes in the French Alpine style of cheeses. And there are three cheeses, and the two that I'm most interested in, one is called Valis. It's similar to a raclette. It's a softer Alpine cheese, but it's the kind that you melt in a raclette maker and scrape over potatoes and bread and things like that. And then there's Montis, which is an Appenzeller-style cheese. Now, what I find most exciting about that now is you can actually make a Swiss fondue using just Wisconsin cheeses, because a good Swiss fondue, as I was taught, has Gruyere. So instead, you can go and get Emmy Roth's Private Reserve. Then you can go and get Bruce Workman's at Edelweiss Town Hall Creamery, his Emmentaler cheese. And now you can go get Schumann Cheese's Montis. So you can make a Swiss-style fondue just using Wisconsin cheese. Very exciting.
I'm going to raise my hand here with a question, and this comes from someone who I'm not a cheesemaker. I'm not a cheese expert. I enjoy cheeses. When we talk about Alpine-style cheeses, does the elevation not matter? The thing that jumps out at me is we do not have the Alps in Wisconsin.
No, we don't, but we have lots of cows. We have the right temperatures for it. which is, again, 40 to 50 degrees. That's where cows are usually their happiest. And we have dairy and cheese culture. And that is a pun, but it also is very...
That's a good pun, too.
It's the truth. So it's not in the Alps. It's not the exact same thing, but you can use similar recipes. And then, as both Christoph and Julian said, they want the American cheesemakers at Schumann, at the Lake Country Dairy, to really put their own stamp. It's not going to be...
The idea is not they're not imitating an Alp cheese here.
They're using similar methods. They're using similar cultures. But ultimately, the milk and the environment is different. So it's not going to be exact. But that's the other thing. With these cheeses like Appenzeller, a lot of these kind of cheeses are name protected. As they wanted to emphasize, these are similar to but not exact imitations or replicas. That said, I would think they're really good substitutions if you're looking for Swiss cheese or Swiss-styled cheese made locally.
Well, and so to put this in the broader context, the thing that's really impressive here is that it's yet another type of cheese that comes out of a cheese-making state like Wisconsin that heretofore wasn't available.
Exactly. That's one of the big things. The other thing is this partnership with Julian coming over and teaching French-style cheesemaking methods to American cheesemakers. And after talking with him, he said what's impressed him is about the passion of the cheesemakers here in Wisconsin and their knowledge. One of the things with these style cheeses, they have washes. You have to wash and age the cheeses correctly. And we watched a demonstration. We walked through the entire plant. We saw their copper kettles for making Parmesan. And they also showed us the aging rooms. Then we went out to Norswiss, which is the one dairy that they use. And it's a large dairy, and it's called Norswiss because the original owner of the dairy farm was of Norwegian descent, and his son-in-law is actually from Switzerland. And the French cheesemakers have worked with the American dairy farmers to do some different things, to change diets, to make sure that the tails aren't docked, things like that. Very humane.
Right.
And while we were there, we actually got to see a calf who was just born. That was really cool.
Well, and speaking of really cool, you have brought three cheeses along.
Yes, I did. So
tell us what you have in the studio with us.
Okay. Well, Schumann has two brands that are made from this plant. One is called Cello, and those are the harder aged cheeses. And then they make some Fontina-style cheeses or Fontal under their Yellow Door label. So what we have here, we have some Asiago. We also have some Artisan Reserve Parmesan. And then we have some Fontina that's been rubbed with harissa herbs and spices, and they're fantastic. We also have their Cello Wisps. They're Parmesan cheese crisps, just Parmesan, but they're like crackers.
Right, as though they're crackers or almost, you know, they almost have like a kettle chip texture to them, but they're made of cheese.
They're made of cheese. They're good for salads. In fact, I believe a certain company, Panera, uses some of their crisps wisps on some of their salads. But I don't think you need a salad to enjoy them.
All right. So this is Asiago here.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll take
the smaller one here. Yes.
Then this is the Parmesan.
All right.
And then this is the Fontina rubbed with herbs.
So keep them in the same order on my console here, and I'm going to start with the Asiago.
Yep.
And tell me what I ought to be noticing.
Well, again, smell it. It smells really earthy, but in a really good way. You can almost smell the grass.
And here is where I will admit that I'm not typically an Asiago cheese fan, but—
Isn't that fantastic,
It is
though?
Really terrific.
And then you've got to taste the Parmesan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It is really good.
It's
like from the second it went into my mouth. I mean,
it's really fruity.
Mm-hmm.
It's really aromatic in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those cheeses you could just keep munching on.
Well, and we were talking about this before we turned the microphone on, and that is there is a lot of bad Parmesan out there. Parmesan? I guess it's Parmesan.
Well, Parmesan is the Americanized version of Parmigiano Reggiano,
okay,
which is a name protected cheese in Italy. In Italy, the cows are fed special diets. We don't always have that here, and they used to be grass-fed cows. And they used to graze. Now, because land is too important, the grass actually gets brought to the cows in Italy. So here in Wisconsin, they don't have those restrictions.
Right.
But it's all about the quality of the milk. No hormones added, no things like that, which I think consumers want. And I think it comes out in the quality of the cheese.
Well, that is delicious. And as we were saying, there's a lot of bad Parmesan out there, and you really can taste the difference.
Well, the one thing that I would say, if you're looking for a Parmesan, get one that is actually imported or one that's got a label like Cello or another fine Wisconsin company that makes it. Then grate your own. It doesn't take that much. Usually, if you buy it grated or shredded in the store, there are anti-caking agents and things to preserve it.
Right.
It doesn't take that much. And if you have a food processor, just throw it in, shred it. You've got your own shredded Parmesan ready to use.
I'm really struck by the aftertaste. It really has a nice...
It lingers.
Yeah. Well, and a nice, mellow, flavorful way.
And that's another thing. I think people, when you think of Parmesan or Parmigiano Reggiano or even Asiago or things like that, you think of cooking with mm-hmm. them, which is fantastic. And I love making Italian pastas and even soups, adding that cheese to it. But you can also eat it. They add a really nice dimension to a cheese plate. Some cheeses, it's helpful to add a little bit of maple syrup or honey or jam. But with that cheese, do you really need anything? You don't even need a cracker.
All right. There is one more cheese in front of me, and I've been looking forward to trying this.
Smell it. Cumin, chilies.
Yeah. Oh, that is delicious.
Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, and it's got a nice little kick to it.
But not too much.
Right. No, no.
It's just the right amount of spice.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't it? They rub their Fontal, which is a mild Fontina-style cheese, with different herbs. And as you can tell, this is dark red. It's the kind that attracts attention. This cheese also, I think, would make a fantastic melted cheese sandwich.
Absolutely.
Add some tomatoes, perhaps sun-dried tomatoes. Add some spinach and just melt some of this cheese.
I could imagine it just on a crusty bread melted on its own.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
That was terrific. Well, our time is a little short, but we do want to mention the U.S. Cheese Championships before you go.
Because Wisconsin won it again. And this time it was with Sartori's Black Pepper Rubbed Bellavitano. Now, my favorite story about Bellavitano happened when I was at a California cheese conference, and they had this big cheese dinner, and they had 20 California cheeses and then 2 Wisconsin cheeses. What was the cheese that everyone kept coming back for? The New Glarus Raspberry Ale Rubbed Bellavitano. Everyone kept coming back for this cheese. Now, Bellavitano, since that time, has come out with so many different versions of it, different aged versions, and this is the black pepper rubbed version. And it took first place. Bellavitano is sort of like a cross between Parmesan and cheddar. It's nutty, it's rich, it's creamy, and it's the kind you can keep eating. Just like you can keep eating a good cheddar, you can keep eating a good Parmesan, cross those two together, rub it with some black pepper, and there you go.
So, and this is it the second year in a row now Wisconsin has come out of the
The U.S. Cheese Championship is every other year. Okay. Last year, I believe Emmy Roth won the World Cheese Championship.
That's it.
Yes.
Right.
But it seems like every year or every other year, Wisconsin wins. And we haven't even been to the American Cheese Society competition, which is this summer. But usually Wisconsin clears up there as well. So
another feather in the Wisconsin cheese cap, to mix my metaphors.
Yes. Yes.
Well, until the next time, which I'm already looking forward to, Jeanette Hurt, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
Jeanette Hurt is the author of books including The Cheeses of Wisconsin, A Culinary Travel Guide, and her most recent, Drink Like a Woman. She's also an occasional Lake Effect contributor who is always welcome to drop by with a cheese platter.